This month, we are reflecting on two things here at Fuse. One is our covenant, and the other is the theme of abundance. It is harvest season, after all. Our covenant and abundance are linked in my thinking because a covenant or any spiritual practice or inner commitment is part of living an abundant inner life. The things that we commit ourselves to, that we do even when they are hard or inconvenient, deepen our sense of self and give us chances to encounter our old stories or beliefs about ourselves or the world that don't serve us anymore. And when we notice that what is and what we thought was the story don't match, we can begin to see that everything is holy. One of the little ways that I practice this, I practiced just yesterday at the grocery store. In the year and a half since John and I have been paying for childcare, the household budget has been a little tighter. And we frequently fret about not having enough. And the fact that this congregation has made this commitment to serve humanity in fellowship and therefore has a strong relationship with the food bank in town and has collection bins in our community room all the time keeps me practicing abundance. And so even though I'm worried about money, I almost always buy something for the food bank when I'm at the grocery store. And in fact, the grocery store that I sometimes go to has a box right there in the store for the food bank in Portsmouth. So often I put my food there. Someone will be fed. And you know the old story about if you're it's good to have a meditation practice, and if you're having a really busy day, you should meditate for twice as long. I try to do that at the grocery store, too. When I'm particularly anxious about money, I try to buy another thing for the food bank. Because the reality is, well, the reality is that we're tight on money, but the other reality is that we have so much more than most people in the world do. And we are able to keep our commitments to serve humanity and to offer some of that basic kindness. And it reminds me that food, simple food, is part of what is holy in this world. So this morning, I wanted you to get to eavesdrop on a conversation that I have been having with some members of our congregation about how they live into our covenant, into this line that we will serve humanity in fellowship. I have noticed over the years that people in our congregation are often doing very different things for almost the same reasons, and that there is a deep connection among all of the kinds of work that you collectively are doing here. But you don't always get to see or hear about those connections. So I wanted you to get to hear them and see if we might experience those connections more deeply and figure out how to bring the similarities in what we're doing to the surface more. So I invite four members of our congregation to come up and join me for this conversation: Sylvia Foster, Gail Nostrom, Helen Krupa, and Adrian Drummy. First, I want you to know who each of these people are and what they do, and then we'll have a conversation. This is, in fact, a conversation that's been happening since sometime in June in one form or another. And I hope that this is an invitation to a larger and longer conversation. And I said at the beginning that when you're introducing yourselves to each other, find a moment to pause and say, we'll finish this later. I hope this conversation will be like that too. Maybe we can continue it when we're walking around town for the crop walk. I invite you to eavesdrop.
Good morning. My name is Adrian Drummy, and I am part of the Caring Committee and the Outreach Task Force. The Caring Committee provides meals, cards, and human kindness to Fuse members and friends who are going through a difficult time or time of transition.
Very convenient. I'm Helen Krupa, and I'm a member of the Caring Committee and the Outreach Committee. The Outreach Task Force chooses the organizations we give our once a month give it away to. We choose organizations, local organizations, that we think are effectively helping people in the area live better lives. We have built volunteering relationships with some of the organizations like Seacoast Family Promise, and we cook for them and provide hosts. We also do food drives at the holiday time and all year long. And recently we've been collecting clothing for the homeless youth, just to name a few.
And I'm Gail Nostrom. I'm also part of the Outreach Task Force, or the Outreach Committee, and also part of the Visiting Ministry that was started a couple of years ago here as a way to pair members of our congregation who are not able to drive anymore with members of our congregation who are interested in visiting. The Visiting Ministry brings our Fuse Committee, our Fuse community, to people who can't always come to Fuse anymore. It builds all kinds of relationships, and it's just a wonderful way to bring this congregation to people that just aren't able to join us like they used to.
I'm Sylvia Foster, and I'm the chair of the Social Justice Committee and the leader of the Green Team, the Green Sanctuary Project. The Social Justice Committee tries to educate themselves and the congregation on ways that we can take action toward social justice. And the Green Team tries to make sure that our congregational life and our practices in personal life keep becoming more and more sustainable and greener by the day.
And I am connected to all of these groups. And I administer the Ministerial Discretionary Fund, which is used to help people both in our congregation and beyond our congregation who have emergency needs. This has been literally in the news recently that that we will pay a bill if someone needs help with a medical bill or a car payment or rent or mortgage. If us paying that bill makes a difference in someone getting the care that they need or keeping a roof over their head. Sometimes these issues that come up that we, because it's really your contributions to that fund that pay the bills, sometimes what we are addressing is just a plain physical health emergency. Sometimes it's a mental health emergency. And sometimes it's people who are clearly caught in the way that our society can get people stuck. And once you get in a disadvantaged position, it's very hard to get back out of that. So sometimes it looks like a personal problem, but it's also a much larger societal problem. And we're connecting to it all the time. So the four of you cover a lot of ground here at Fuse. Do you see an overlap in the different groups with which you are involved?
I see that caring is the commonality among all of these committees, caring spiritually, physically, and socially. Each of us tries to make a difference, a change for the better. No matter how small it is, everyone counts. Every offer to help counts.
And I speak for Pat Yasha, who is at a conference today. In her absence, I say, I want to be a part of this caring community in every way. Because of the seven principles and because of the shared values of Fuse folks, I join them in the sanctuary for meditation and response and repose and reflection, and in the parish hall and community room and parsonage meeting rooms, and in the streets of Exeter for verbal acknowledgement of those shared values and friendship.
And for a time in my life, many years ago, I attended prayer meetings at the Franciscan Friary in Rye, if anybody can remember those, or that nice establishment. But one of the brothers would attend this meeting. He was a cook's helper and a dishwasher for the facility. And he used to remind us that we could give glory to God even as we wash those dishes. Some of us might do huge things and mighty things in our lives, but others of us might just wash dishes. But we're still all giving glory to God in whatever job we are called to do at the moment. It used to help make sense with the day-to-day living that many of us do.
I think I'm the one who said the church spurs me on. And I certainly do a lot more for others belonging to the church and the outreach task force. It is most rewarding to be part of a group that has specific plans on who to help, who to support, instead of automatically writing a check to a huge organization.
And what are your thoughts about if there's tension between coming to church as a spiritual place and coming to church as a place to be an activist?
There may be tension for some people, but for me, it's a matter of choice. I think Fuse should meet the needs of spirituality and activism, whether you want either or whether you want both.
Rather than tension, I feel there is a connection between spiritualism and activism. Coming to services is not just about me, my soul, my sins, my salvation, as it was in a traditional church I attended, but it's about coming to service, calming myself, feeling centered, finding inner peace, but also connected with the concerns and understanding of others. This, to me, means being an activist.
The word worship comes from an old English word, and part of that word means worth or honor. And so worship, what we do on Sunday morning, is about honoring what is most worthy in our lives. So you can honor both inner peace and your own centeredness and the saving of the world around us.
Well, I was taught to see social action and spiritual principles as connected when I was just a wee little universalist. My church school teachers told me that the only way you could go wrong was if you did not use your talents in your community. We were not to hide our light under a bushel. And we learned about the teachings of the Old Testament prophets, how they spoke out in public against wrongdoings, and work to make things fair.
I do what I do at Fuse because I want to try to make the world a better place. Sounds simple, but I found that the Fuse outreach has provided a vehicle for me to work with others in trying to help those in our immediate community that might need food, shelter, or clothing. We can pool our resources and do more than I feel I could do alone.
I'm interested in joining others to make a contribution to our community. As part of the philanthropic giving circle, I learned that pooling our resources and talents was a way to make a much better contribution, an effective contribution. So working together here makes it all work much better.
In my first year at Fuse, I joined a certain group of women who worked from the idea that each of us has the right to full participation in public and private life. These women were always speaking out, writing letters to editors, singing, all for justice. What I do now at Fuse is connected to what those powerful women, who were up to a lot back in the 1990s, did. They opened up a world to me of recognizing injustice and expressing my passion by speaking up and acting up. We knew that a better democracy can be created, and we could help make that happen. So on Sunday nights, we sat around a long trestle table. I listened to Mary Copperthorne, Inge Locke, Paula Wall, Joyce Gibbs, and others who all expressed themselves so passionately, and then off to one side there was Grace Treadwell saying, "Now, just what do you think you can do about that?"
I also know that some of those women ran a class that used to happen here called, I've forgotten the name, Sylvia.
Heritage?
There was a goddess class.
Yeah, the circle, women's circle.
So there was a women's spirituality circle that went along with these women who were speaking up and acting up.
I feel fortunate to have stumbled upon such a community as FUSE. I find it to be a diverse, gifted, and generous community. Generous not just in the monetary sense, which you all are, but by willingness to offer support, understanding, comfort freely and sincerely to those experiencing difficult times. I feel comforted and safe when I sit among my fellow worshipers. Coming to service is frequently thought-provoking. We are exposed to the Bible, history, literature, poetry, music, the past and current events of our chaotic world. And not to be left out, part of our service is frequently humor. And that gives us much relief from the seriousness we're all surrounded by. We cannot survive without humor.
And I wonder what your hopes are for the areas that you're already involved in, if you have grand plans. That's a leading question, isn't it?
I'd like to see a nature education program in church, sort of in the summertime months in the neighborhood. The local schools already host formal tutorials in math and reading. So I can picture an outdoor ed enrichment experience here. Apparently these programs improve the child's school performance, including reading skills, because the children learn to concentrate better. And what seems so important to me is that the program widens a child's feeling of connectedness to other people and to the earth. This sort of program was introduced to me by Richard Louv. He had a bestseller called Last Child in the Woods, Saving Our Children from Nature Deficit Disorder. So it seems like it would bring benefits to everyone and be lots of fun for both the children and the adult leaders.
Outreach is trying to find ways to support people to prevent them from needing the charitable donations. People need jobs and health care, transportation, affordable housing, and more to be able to sustain themselves. FUSE provides services to our members and the community that would otherwise be the domain of the government. Committees working together might be better able to address these problems, since we're really all looking at the same things. For example, helping people to remain in their homes is certainly related to social justice, working for expanded low-income housing and higher minimum wages. CECO's Family Promise families are often homeless just for those reasons. Some give-it-away donations might be channeled into agencies that work toward meeting these needs. The Community Loan Fund is an example. There are many other common efforts that we could work on.
At FUSE, our green group got on board the UUA's Green Sanctuary Project, and that worked. Then we hopped aboard 350 New Hampshire with Stephanie Marshall's local connections to educate climate deniers. And the deniers help us to ask questions of ourselves, too. Grace was just as much of a mentor to me as anyone else with her questions, helping us to educate ourselves.
And we're also joining the Transition Town movement with the leadership of Renee Allen, who is offering us chances to use our talents to improve our community life and the health of the planet. These actions sound like kitchen table politics, and this is where the women's movement and many others told stories from the heart, focused on what they could do, and they joined the group in Action for Justice.
As I've been having a series of these conversations, I have been hearing an interest in further coordinating our efforts as a congregation. And indeed, many congregations now are trying to define some of their work in the congregation so that the congregation works together more consistently and focuses their collective energy. Congregations always have a lot of different interests, and there are ways to make sure that we stay connected through those interests. When people talk about having a common project, they often talk about things like ending hunger or suicide prevention in their town. And I think the kind of common project that is brewing is something that's a little bit bigger, so that there are many, many ways for people to get involved, and a variety of issues can be raised within that common project. And so that there are a great variety of very concrete actions available, from something as simple as buying extra food when you're at the grocery store, because sometimes that is what you can figure out in any given week. And then also the option of sitting down together to articulate a different economic system, which is a different way of thinking than buying another jar of peanut butter. It's a common problem in social change work that people get discouraged or feel like they can't get things to change, and so they're just going to give up, especially when we look at how much of a problem still remains. So if we have a more focused effort together, we can sustain each other spiritually while we do the work, and we can see how each little thing, from washing the dishes to buying peanut butter, is connected to a larger goal. And we will be able to say, well, we didn't end world hunger, but we did do this and this and this, or we didn't end climate change this year, but we did do this and this and this, and we would be better able to notice and to celebrate the steps that we take along the way. The metaphor that I've been using recently is water needs a pot to boil. Otherwise, it just sputters on the fire, puts the fire out. And I think in this moment, the pot is the discipline and structure of a collective focus. And it takes a while to figure out what the right one is. So I hope that you'll have more of this conversation. And I thank you for sharing your perspectives with this congregation. And I hope that you will engage each of these people up front in this conversation and each other. And please join in singing, which is part of our collective conversation, hymn 112, Do You Hear?